In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. My daughter Emily in studio with us today. We are concerned about the education of our children. My guess is most parents out there are concerned as well. And we wanted to find the best possible education we could find for our children. And it turns out homeschooling does very, very well on the nationally standardized tests, at least according to a number of studies that have been done. Hey, according to the Rutner study, which is the largest study ever performed on homeschooling back in the early 2000s, the Rutner study found that homeschoolers were much better educated than their counterparts from public and private schools. Folks, the average homeschool eighth grader in that study, sample size of 26,000, the average homeschool eighth grader scored four grade levels above the national average. Homeschoolers typically were in the 70th, 80th, and 90th percentiles in subjects like math, reading, etc. And, hey, they're winning spelling bees, geography bees, mock debate competitions, mock trial competitions, etc. They're, according to all the studies that have been done on socialization, they're equally or better socialized than their counterparts from the public and private schools. So the studies are saying good things. And, you know, anecdotally, hey, in my life, it's worked out, I'd say pretty good. Wouldn't you say, Dave, it's been a success? I was homeschooled in the 60s and 70s. My folks homeschooled six of us. So far, nobody's on welfare. Nobody's in prison. I'd say that's success. Four have master's degrees. Now, is that success? Hey, we went to college, man, and we did really good in college, all right? We done really good in college. Is that success? Are we talking about a measure of success here, Dave?
I mean, you have to define what success is.
Is success going to a good college and getting through with a 3.1 GPA?
Well, one thing we can say about the whole Swanson family, and I've met most of your brothers and sisters, is that you're all strange, but you are harmless.
Yes, strange but harmless. I think that's a good synopsis of the Swanson children. Homeschooled in the 60s and 70s, folks. Nobody in prison. And by the way, all six of us serving God in some capacity somewhere around the world. Couple of missionaries, pastor, et cetera, et cetera. You know, God is good. My parents actually consider that to be a fairly successful life.
Yeah, even you do the studies, you find out that homeschoolers don't fill up the prison system, for one. But you do find that they're pretty... In general, I mean, this is a trend, they're pretty excited about the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah, now my children are being homeschooled too, so again, second generation folks, we're coming at it one more time. And so far, all of them can sing. Several of them play the piano, and they hug each other a lot. Now, Dave, that I think is success, all right? Let's define success now. My children hug each other a lot. Is that success?
It is certainly one good measure of success.
Yeah.
I know in your family, you're very big on being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another.
Yeah, I've seen that about 10,000 times in any given year. Daniel's finishing up Saxon Algebra 2, for whatever that's worth, and he's, what, 14 years old? The older three have learned a fair amount of Greek, and they can probably start translating 1 John. I don't know, is that a success? Emily can cook a meal. In fact, she cooks a lot of our meals. We had a great meal on Monday. Emily did a great job on that. She's 12 years old and she cooks our meals. Is that success, Dave? To cook a successful meal, is that success? Are we being successful in our homeschool program?
Well, I've eaten Emily's cooking, and that is success.
Okay, well, there you are. There you have it, folks. Emily is a successfully homeschooled little girl, and my 8-year-old, Bethany, she can get the beagle to speak just about any time she wants. And that's got to be success. And one more thing, they've learned a lot about glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. Now, I think that's success. Ladies and gentlemen, the chief end of man, the chief purpose of man, the chief goal of men, the reason to live, the reason to exist, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. If we can teach them a little bit about that, I think we're doing okay. Well, folks, while academically, morally, and spiritually the nation is in severe decline, here's a bright light, my friends, a bright light for America's future. We have 2 million children being homeschooled today. It is sure to be a player in the next generation, the next 20 years. That number, 2 million, will probably be closer to 7 million
This homeschooling movement is not done yet. And according to recent surveys of graduates, people who have graduated from their homeschools, homeschoolers are 14 times more likely to be involved politically, culturally. Incredible. Incredible what is happening. In a moment, Dr. Art Robinson, an early pioneer in the movement, he's going to be with us on the air. He is the author of the Robinson Curriculum. You've seen it on the back cover of World Magazine. Dr. Art Robinson, next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Again, good to have you tuned in with us today. We have with us on the phone line from Illinois, Dr. Art Robinson. He's authored the Robinson Curriculum, and now 60,000 children are using his CD-ROM-based program. He is a scientist. He has a PhD in chemistry. And Dr. Art Robinson, welcome to Generations.
Well, thank you. It's delightful to be here.
You've homeschooled your six children from the beginning, I think the mid-1980s, Art. At this point, you've been at this now for about 20 years. What's the prognosis? How did this thing work out for you?
Oh, it worked out extremely well. I wouldn't do anything else. Our experience was a little different because we started homeschooling in the ordinary way where the mother is a teacher in the home and teaches. But my wife died when the children were between the ages of 1.5 and 12. As a consequence, we didn't have a teacher. So we worked out over the years a method of self-teaching, which doesn't require a teacher. And that's worked out remarkably well. In some ways, it has advantages over having a teacher. We use a different method, a unique method that doesn't involve the mother being a teacher.
Where are the children today? It's been about 20, 25 years since you began teaching them at home. At this point, where are they?
Well, the oldest is Zachary is a veterinarian. He graduated from Iowa State University in veterinary medicine. The second oldest son, Noah, is a doctor. He has a PhD in chemistry. He's graduated from Caltech in chemistry, and he and I work together. The third oldest is Aaron. She's in Iowa State Veterinary School now, getting a degree in veterinary medicine. The next two are Joshua and Bethany. They were twins, and they start graduate school in September in nuclear engineering. And the youngest, Matthew, is starting college. He'll start studying chemistry he actually will start as a junior. He has 2 years of advanced placement, so he'll skip, as his brothers did, skip the first 2 years of college and start as a junior in studying chemistry in college in September.
So it sounds like academically it's worked out very well. Now, that's sort of the micro view. If we took a macro view of the movement, I know you have been somewhat a leader in the movement, Art, particularly by way of your curriculum package. If you take a look at the movement, what do you think this movement means to the modern world? How significant is it, and what will it do for the children that are homeschooled?
Well, to the world, it is extremely important because it is the really last best hope for America to fulfill its both Christian and ideological principles in the world. There's been so much decay in our country, especially led by the public schools, and the best hope of the country is in the homeschoolers. And since it is a rapidly growing movement, millions of children are being homeschooled, and they're being taught, for the most part, they're being taught by all sorts of excellent curriculum. But they're also being taught good Christian values in their homes. That they're almost two civilizations in the United States today, the homeschoolers and the others. The homeschoolers are the best chance that our country can be saved and that our country can fulfill its purpose in the world.
It's possible God's going to use this movement in a significant way, culturally, politically, socially. and basically every other way. But let's just look at history for a moment, because I want to look at what happened in terms of education. At some point, we got the idea that we needed professionals to train to educate our children, or we needed to turn them over to the government. How did that happen?
Well, you know as well as I, it's a long story, but basically the most Americans today turn their children over to the government to raise. And I don't understand. I don't understand this. The greatest blessings that God gives a family is the children, and to have children and then turn them over to the government to raise for you is just unthinkable. But that's what they've done, and socialism doesn't work, and as a consequence, the government has done a terrible job, and 50 million young people in our country today are being gradually cut off by the knee, at the knees by their government. Some of these young people will, in spite of the schools, do well. But we lose a huge percentage of our young people into this awful socialist nightmare that is called the public schools.
Art, now, I think there are a lot of folks out there that are concerned that the public schools aren't providing what they need socially, religiously, morally, or even academically. We've seen academic scores falling. Certainly even college is falling in terms of its average academic competency. But my question is what are the basics of a good education? Because I think a lot of folks don't even know what that is.
Well, until age 18, which is what we're talking about, homeschooling, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Arithmetic being math through calculus, then science, which is another extension of mathematics, literature, history, economics, all in ordinary subjects, but being taught in an objective way. And the most important thing is learning to think and learning to have good study habits. And in mathematics and science today, we have superb tools for teaching children to think. Whether they become mathematicians or scientists or not, people sometimes think, well, my child doesn't need math, he's not going to do that. It's not the case. When you learn mathematics, you learn science, you learn the fundamental subjects that are responsible for building our civilization, you also teach the child to think. The most important thing is learning to think for yourself and having the confidence to think for yourself, which means you have to do a lot of problem solving and do a lot of work in your growing up years, which gives you the confidence to believe that you can work out the solution to a problem and have confidence that it's right. Then you become an independent individual. If you don't have the skills to think and don't have the confidence, then you're a slave. You become enslaved to whoever has the best rhetoric. And that is what has happened to so many Americans. Public school, homeschooling gives the children a chance to learn to think and to learn to think based upon good, sound Christian family principles.
Now, one of your goals and one of the things you emphasize is independent study habits. And I remember as I was homeschooled out in Japan in the 1960s and 70s, by the time I turned 10, 11, 12 years of age, my parents basically turned the whole stack of books over to me at the beginning of the year and said, here you go, have fun. And I was basically alone, did most of my own study from that point on. You emphasize this is important as well. Why is it important for a student to be able to sit down and work through that material by himself?
For several reasons. One reason is to build self-confidence, to know that he can, to ferret out the facts that are important, the principles that are important for himself. Most of his life he will be spent in an environment in which he has to think for himself. In terms of reading, all the things that he learns as he goes along through life, he will have to self-choose those materials and apply himself and learn the things that are important within them. That's the way life is. So at a certain point, the student needs to have this freedom. Now, and the freedom not only to learn for himself, but to learn to build the confidence that he can. Problem solving, even in science, a simple thing, working out problems in science, involves two things. One, knowing how to do it. And two, having the confidence to believe you can. And both of those things are emphasized as the child self-learns. Now, I think that that doesn't mean no structure. The experience you had is very similar to the experience my children were having in the beginning. As we started to develop a curriculum for outsiders and for other families, our curriculum improved because we put a lot more effort into choosing the books for the children. So now we have about 300 books that a child should be exposed to. they learn to read those, and then they're encouraged to read everything else in sight at their own choice. So I think the core of a curriculum in math, science, literature, history, all these things, the core should be provided, things the child must do and must learn, because we know that there are certain things he should go through. Doing that, he then should key off of those things by himself and read volumes of stuff, other stuff of his own choice. So the curriculum needs both to provide the materials and guidance so that he will not miss essential core things, and then the freedom to gain confidence and have a lot of fun reading and learning all the things that may interest him individually.
Why don't you summarize what a day looks like in the Robinson homeschool using the Robinson curriculum, Art?
Well, if he's about halfway through, let's say he hasn't gotten to science yet, he'll get up in the morning, work perhaps about 30 math problems, grade his own problems. If he has trouble with them, figure out what was wrong and fix them. He'll never help. His family will never help him with his math or science if he's doing that. That takes the first couple hours of his day. Then he would read in literature, history, economics, or just read, general reading, in books which have been selected to emphasize things he must learn, emphasize vocabulary he has to learn, and so forth, generally selected so that their grammar and vocabulary is superior. And then he'll write, usually two or three pages, of an essay of his choice for his writing. The only way his parent will interact with him is that the parent will read his written and mark grammatical and errors. The child has to go and fix them. The only interaction the parent would have with him is in reading what he has written, because there's no way to self-grade that. So it's reading, writing, and arithmetic. And he starts with the arithmetic, which starts that arithmetic when he's very young, goes through calculus. After he's finished calculus, he does physics, chemistry, the sciences, which is just an extension of the arithmetic. So he spends the first couple of hours on that, and then the rest of his day either reading or writing. And the whole exercise takes 4 or 5 hours. We prefer school 6 days a week. And if that interferes with things, we always try to make the math and science go at least 6 days. And my kids worked 6 days a week whenever we weren't doing something else, which meant they went to school about 10.5 months a year.
Art, does a student ever get stuck on something where he just simply cannot comprehend it and needs a little guidance from a teacher?
Well, it can happen, and I say no one gets any help, and my son Matthew, my youngest son, says that is not true. He says I helped him. He says I helped him about once every 3 years. Okay, so actually the truth is if the teaching materials have been correctly selected, he won't get stuck. If he has been taught that he can get stuck, he will get stuck. In other words, it's there. The math book is there. The math book has explained the material well enough that he can work it. However, he says, I don't know how to do this problem, and he's stuck. He's stuck because he thinks if he makes that plea, his mother or father will come and help him. If they do, they take the problem away from him. They're not the ones trying to learn. He is. They take the problem away from him by showing him how to do it, then it didn't do him any good because it didn't teach him any problem solving. But if materials are selected correctly, he simply won't get stuck. The information is there. What is lacking when he gets stuck is self-confidence. He has learned a bad lesson, which is if I get stuck, my mother will come and help me. Meaning, if the problem is tough, my mother will come and help me. Meaning, I won't learn anything from the tough problems. And therefore, taking part of his education away. So the fact is, he won't. And moreover, if there's an occasional problem he can't work at all, better that he pass it by than to have somebody come and work it for him. It's a bad message to send to him. You see, when he gets up in the morning, his brain says, well, I'm going to work another 30 math or science problems. I'm going to get them right. And if I don't do that, and I have to do that before I do anything else. And his brain knows he can do it, and he will do it. It's very hard to get stuck if the materials are correct, and the idea of people helping you is very debilitating in problem solving, especially because it drains away your self-confidence.
One of the best things about math that I have found is that math is a great character developer. It seems like the more basic lesson that's happening is a character lesson here.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Most people don't realize this, but you're absolutely right. when this, in this little exercise I described of our day, of the child's day, the first 2 hours are spent learning the truth. He must get the math problem right. It's either right or wrong. There is no compromise in math or science. The problem's either right or wrong. The child spends the first 2 days, hours of the day in a moral lesson. He has to find the truth. And even though they're very simple truths, we understand that the truth of a math problem is much more easily comprehended than that of a important social or religious problem. Nevertheless, his whole mindset is, I spent the first 2 hours finding out the truth. That will extend into the rest of his day, and his approach to the humanities and everything else he does will be different. A child that starts his day that way is an entirely different child. And we often have people will write or call and say, oh, boy, we started your curriculum, and it's just wonderful. It's changed our whole family. It's just terrific. The children love it. How long have you been doing it? Well, you know, a month. Well, in a month, they haven't even seen most of the humanities. They haven't even seen most of the curriculum. What they have done is make the child do two hours of math every morning before he does anything else, and that changes his whole outlook. But it is an important moral exercise because they start the morning learning the truth. And that probably shouldn't be such an important lesson, but in our society it's very important because most of the social forces are teaching them there is no truth.
Art, we appreciate the time you've taken with us. We're just about out of time. I wonder if you could give us some contact information for folks interested in the Robinson curriculum.
Oh, they could go to our website at robinsoncurriculum.com. They can also call our home if they wish at 541-592-4142. We're happy to talk to anybody with questions. The website is run by a friend of ours, and he's put in it a wealth of information about the curriculum, which is probably the best place to go for lots of information.
Again, Dr. Art Robinson, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of your wisdom with us on our program today.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be with you. Thank you. Bye.
And folks, as we wrap up the program today, I just want to recommend to you my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. On this program today, we emphasize the preeminence of character in the education of a child. We also emphasize the importance of doing the basics well. Those are two of the 10 secrets to the best education for your child. But let me throw in the principle of relationships, the principle of individuality. Hey, everybody's not going to grow up and become strong in math and strong in chemistry. I mean, look at my daughter. She can get the beagle to speak at any time, whenever she wants. Everybody has their own skills. Rebecca Joy is a great artist, Dave. Have I mentioned that before? A great artist. She doesn't do real well in math. She's the 45th percentile in math, but she's doing 99th percentile in the area of her art creations. She does beautiful artwork on the margins of her math tests. It's wonderful. The principle of individuality, ladies and gentlemen, is essential in the education of a child as well. We've got all of these principles summarized in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, and we want to recommend this book to you. If you have children or you know anybody with children, you need to get a copy of this book, Upgrade. Call 877-842-CHECK for your copy today. That's 877-842-CHECK. And folks, you can interact with the program anytime by just emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. There are 40 countries tuning in to this program at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.